And hello to you. I hope you're well. And I hope you're coping with life in lockdown. I was thinking this week about what I'm missing while I'm in lockdown. And it goes without saying, of course, that I'm missing seeing all of you in church. Although I do have to say that home church does have some benefits. Hot coffee and toasted hot cross buns being one of them. I'm certainly missing the barber, and I'll bet that many of you are missing your hairdresser. But as a family, we're really missing the kids in America who were due to journey over to see us this year. And we're missing too our journeys back home to Liverpool to see the rest of the family and to see friends from our home church. But I suppose at the moment we'll just have to make do with video messaging. But speaking of journeys, over the last wee while we've all been on a bit of a journey. It's been an Easter journey as we have considered how God has poured out his blessings on us. If you think back, we began looking at Jesus washing the disciples' feet and considering how he has poured out his love. And then on Good Friday, we thought about how God poured out his forgiveness to us on the cross. And then on Easter Sunday, how God has poured out his hope in our hearts. And then, over a period of 40 days, Jesus visits his disciples and he pours out his faith, his presence, his restoration, and his peace. But now, for Jesus, the journey on earth is ending and his journey is leading home. If you have your Bibles, turn again to Acts chapter 1 and that final verse that Jane read to us, verse 9. It says this: after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. This is what we call the ascension. It happened 40 days after the resurrection. And in fact, we commemorate the ascension on Thursday, Ascension Day. At the ascension, Jesus is going home. And this morning, I would like us to reflect upon two questions as we consider what Christ's ascension means. The first question is this: where is home? And the second, home to what? So let's begin by considering this: where is home? Now, of course, home can be a physical location, Liverpool or Perth, where we were born or where we currently stay. But at another level, it can be where we have an emotional attachment. We often hear the phrase, home is where the heart is. And I suppose for me, home has always been where Lynn is, as she's the real homemaker in our partnership. But where is home for the Christian? Now, before you answer, listen to what Jesus once said to his disciples. From John chapter 16 and verse 28. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and am going back to the Father. It's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus never mentioned heaven, but what he did say was that he was going home to be with the Father. Now, it just so happens that where the Father is, we call heaven. But listen to what Tom Wright says in his book, Simply Christian. The promise held out in the phrase, going to heaven, is more or less exactly going to be with God in the place where he has been all along. Thus, heaven is not just a future reality, but a present one. The American poet Emily Dickinson penned these words, "Where thou art, that is home." And I want to suggest to you this morning that for the Christian, where God is, that is home. Home and heaven is the space occupied by God. And we can find that space not just in the world to come, but in this present reality too. So I would ask you to reflect on this. Where is the space that God is for you? Where is home and heaven? The space where you meet with God. I suppose for me, I find the space occupied by God in his word. I find him when I meditate upon his word. But for you, it might be in prayer. It could be in service. It could be in praise. But wherever it is, find the time to be there, and you will find God is waiting. I would like now to consider our second question. Home to what? Listen to what happened when Jesus got home to the Father. From Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise." When he gets home to the Father, Jesus receives recognition and reward for all that he has achieved for us on the cross. But now, I would like you to listen to a surprising promise for all those who belong to Jesus. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." I'll read again a section there. "An eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Followers of Jesus are promised the reward of an eternal glory. What does Paul mean by eternal glory? Well, in his book, The Cross of Christ, John Stott says this: "The only reward of countless value, namely the glory of Christ, his own image perfectly created within us." I think that John Stott was echoing the words of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. "We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Can this really be so? Would God pour out Christ's glory into our lives? Well, listen to what C.S. Lewis once said in a sermon he called The Weight of Glory. "The promise of glory is the promise to please God, to be a real ingredient in the divine happiness, to be loved by God, not merely pitied, but delighted in, as an artist delights in his work, or a father in his son." It seems impossible. A weight or burden of glory which our thoughts can hardly sustain. But so it is. So, for the Christian, this weight of glory, this pouring out of glory, is twofold. We acquire the glory of Christ as we are transformed by the Holy Spirit into his likeness. And we please God, who takes delight in seeing his creation become all that he has destined for us to be. Truly, a weight of glory that we could hardly hope to bear. But so it is. But pragmatic as ever, C.S. Lewis also said this in his sermon. Meanwhile, the cross comes before the crown, and tomorrow is Monday morning. So I would like to leave you with these thoughts. Go home to God. He occupies the space that is Monday morning. Go and meet him there, in Bible reading, in prayer, in service, in whatever way you and he join. And remember that one day we will have an eternity in his presence. And accept the weight of glory that God has poured out into your life, the likeness of Christ in you. It is undeserved, but it has been won for us by Jesus on the cross. And even lockdown can't take it away from us. May God bless you all. And I'll hand you out back to Susan.